Hey, come on around. Come on in the back door. And welcome to Rosie on the House. It is the 8 o'clock hour as we open the door to the whole state of Arizona. This is the Outdoor Living Hour, where it's your opportunity to call in with questions about your landscape or garden. We're broadcasting live this morning in Flagstaff, Arizona, from the Pepsi Amphitheater in Fort Tuthill County Park. It's right at the 89A and I-17 exit. It's the Sedona exit coming up. Not the first one, closer to Oak Creek. This is the second one, just a couple miles south of Flagstaff, for the KTAR Get Outdoors Expo, open to the public. If you're looking for a little taste of the Arizona outdoors, this is a great place to come and do it this morning. We have a wonderful program lined up for y'all today in the 9 o'clock hour, of course, open line as always. 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking energy efficiency and whole house energy audits. But right now, as we're in the Outdoor Living Hour, we wanted to bring someone in from the Flagstaff area. We enjoy talking about the different vegetation all over across the state, especially when we're in the surroundings. This isn't, obviously, it's an amphitheater. It's open in the outdoors, and we're surrounded by a lot of pine trees and a lot of other things. The pine is probably the only thing I can really pick out easily in this country. So we've brought in Christy Sorrell from the Arboretum at Flagstaff. Good morning, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to get your mic turned up and see how we can get a little bit better audio on you. How's that?
Thank you.
All right. Is that better? That is. Okay. So tell us about the Arboretum at Flagstaff. I did not know there was one until we started looking for topics for this hour.
So the Arboretum at Flagstaff, we do have a great website with all the information you'd need to know, www.thearb.org. And we are a public garden. We are a huge benefit to the community, and our main mission is plant conservation and public education. So, and also we are a refuge and a facility that we host numerous events, public community events, festivals, concerts, and we also host private tours. Weddings are frequent at the Arboretum, especially in the summer, and conferences and big fundraiser events as well. So we are a nonprofit, and a lot of our special events will partner with other groups in the community to have events that just keep us alive and afloat. And we were established in 1981. There was a woman named Frances McAllister. She was actually from the Los Angeles area. Back in the 1930s, she discovered Flagstaff, fell in love with it. She was a plant enthusiast, and she eventually moved to Flagstaff at the current location of the Arboretum, which is 4001 South Woody Mountain Road. It's about a 4-mile drive down a dirt road from the Route 66 on the west side. She developed a property out there and hired an architect. So the existing buildings currently, they are historic structures in the main entryway, our visitor center and gift shop. And there's a few cabins out there that are on the National Historic Register. If you visit the Arboretum, we have an exhibit room that gives you kind of like a small museum area that can detail that information. And a lot of her structures, they mesh with the landscape. They used locally native rock material, and they're pretty hardy and strong today. Some of the gardens surrounding those buildings actually benefit from the rainwater runoff, so we don't need to irrigate. We have some gardens called water conservation gardens, so those are used as a public education tool as well to teach people in areas where there's limited water resources how you can really benefit from your natural rainwater.
Now, what kind of land coverage is the Arboretum?
The Arboretum is a mix. It's dominant ponderosa pine forest, which is typical of northern Arizona. But we do have big, major open meadow areas that have a history of sheep herding and ranching as well. So we have this collision of ponderosa pine forest on a large chunk of the property, but then it opens up to a large open meadow, which allows for us to develop more our gardens, which all have different themes. And the purpose of those, like one example is an herb garden, which features a legacy of Frances McAllister. She initiated that herb garden, and she would go out on a daily basis, harvest from the herb garden, maybe some oregano or marjoram, comfrey, and different types of medicinal herbs too, and either cook with them or use them.
How long is that herb garden something you can harvest? I'd imagine half the year it's under snow.
Yeah, the growing season in Flagstaff can be a bit challenging. So generally, the peak of our growing season is from May to September, maybe October, and that's it. So the Verde Valley, they get a much longer growing season, but Frances McAllister, that was part of what made her fall in love with Flagstaff, is the challenge. So she started experimenting with what plants can I get to grow here and have success with. So we're continuing that legacy today. And we also do a lot of work with various partners, nationwide even, with rare and threatened species. Our focus is the Colorado Plateau in northern Arizona. But we are registered with the American Penstemon Society, so we're representing penstemon species that you would find throughout the continent of North America.
Now, what is that?
Penstemon is a native wildflower, which is really critical for pollinators. And North America has the largest diversity in the genus Penstemon worldwide.
What are some of the other themes? We've got herb garden. What's another theme?
So a big feature and theme that we're working on is helping our native pollinators. And we are a registered monarch butterfly way station. So the monarch butterflies have been nationally recognized to be threatened and in decline. A major reason for that is loss of habitat, food source, and a plant that's critical to carry out their life cycle reproductively. The monarch butterfly exclusively lays their eggs on milkweed plants. Now, milkweed is a plant where there's multiple species within the genus in North America. And in the Southwest, there's a few species endemic and native to our range. The monarch butterfly is a migratory species.
And I'm talking major migratory.
Major migratory species.
Butterflies
that
traveling. How many miles will they migrate?
Thousands, like 3,000. So they're traveling from the Yucatan region of Mexico, and specifically they overwinter in a place near Michoacan.
And last hour we were talking to a man who hiked 200 miles. Now we're talking butterflies that fly 3,000.
Yeah, it's pretty
he's
impressive.
A piker.
And I would encourage you to go to the Arboretum's website, thearb.org, if you'd like to learn more. We have really great information that gets more into the science and biology of the monarch butterfly. A thing the Arboretum has that's really neat this year is a brand new butterfly house, and that's part of a celebration for our 35th anniversary. We were established in 1981 as a public community public garden. So the butterfly house, we actually have live butterflies in there, not just monarchs, but other native butterflies that also really rely on these specific vegetative species like the milkweed plant to survive. So you can find queen butterflies, viceroy, swallowtail, tiger. I encourage you to check it out. It's really impressive and fun and extremely colorful. So inside the butterfly house, we have an elaborate mix of our native wildflowers the monarchs depend upon, but also in our gardens, we have a large pollinator garden. If you were flying over it aerially, it's in the shape of a butterfly, the actual design of the garden. But then walking through it, it's full of native goldenrods, echinacea, blanket flower, sunflowers, yarrow, and a lot of these plants, the monarchs and other butterflies or invertebrate pollinators, bumblebees and honeybees that they depend on, they also have a deep human history. Many of these plant species are medicinal. So we also have a garden that's called the Ethnobotany Garden, which is right next door to our herb garden that have a lot of great human use, whether it's for just great cooking implements or medicinal salves or things you can make tinctures and teas from if you're ill.
Now, y'all have a lot of native plants that you really focus on. And what an arboretum is great with, or a botanical garden, is you can, if you're trying to build your own landscape in your own yard or your summer cabin or wherever, to go to a nursery, there's a great variety of plants. But to go and see them in nature, in their natural habitat, really gives you a better idea of what it will become once you plant it, which we talk all the time in this hour about the right plant in the right location, the right plant in the right location. Going and seeing it in its natural environment is the first step you should take.
That's right on point. Yesterday, I actually was consulting with a local resident who's had some aspen trees that have not been successful, and that's really common in residential areas. And then the question came up, well, how come when I go to Arizona Snowbowl, which is a couple thousand feet higher on the peaks on north facing slopes, the aspen look great? And that's the answer. Well, that's the habitat they prefer. And, you know, the property we were at was a very flat, dry, exposed area on the east side of town, and that's not where the aspen want to grow. So the arboretum, we are featuring kind of plants in their native habitat. So we combine managed gardens, but more we're representing the wild setting, and we're planting plants with their associated species.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U to join the conversation.